course, we're coming to you from the Golden One Center, where the Kings are trying to do something they haven't done in 8 years. They're trying to do something that De'Aaron Fox has never done. They're trying to do something that hasn't been done since this place has existed. They're trying to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Drapes, is this the night this streak finally comes to an end?
Yes.
Yes.
You know what? I'm Mr. Positivity today, Whitey. I'm not going to be waffling. I'm not going to be like, I don't know, guys. Anything can no. My boys are going to get it done tonight. You know, I understand there's a lot of negativity after the loss against the Houston Rockets. It's not by you. I'm not saying it was by you or by Jay.
All good.
But for me today, I'm going to be Mr. Positive.
Good.
I think my guys get it done. I think they understand what's at stake these last 19 games.
Hey, more importantly, how was the day off?
It was let me take you behind the curtain,
please,
if you will.
Please.
Your boy was tired. I needed a day off. I'm in the process of a move, shifting some things from one place to another. My place is a mess.
And no I'm wallet. Like, it's hard to do.
No wallet, although I do have a wallet now, thanks to my guy Ryan Williams Art.
You posted
I got
that.
It right here, the Kirkland brand wallet. Thank you, Ryan Williams Art. I got it here.
Nice.
But I needed a day just to not do anything. And so in my book, that means lounge, watch some Netflix,
yeah,
stay in your PJs.
Do whatever you want.
And I got up. I rode the bike. Did I do the Peloton? Yes, I don't know. I don't think I did the Peloton. But I had a 9 o'clock tee time. And so I golfed 18. No, yeah, golfed 18, ran home, showered, then walked the course for my son's golf match, holes.
All right.
And then that was it. And so I really didn't relax, though.
There was a lot happening yesterday.
There was. I tell you what, here's the thing about golf, and you notice. Golf can be relaxing if you play well.
Oh, yeah.
When you play bad, it's miserable. And so I had about 14 holes of misery yesterday, so my day off was awful.
Yeah, I tried to get over that this way. I remember watching, I was at Pebble Beach or somewhere, and you see the guys, and they hit, and then they go, every day they're practicing. You know, like Tiger freaking Woods in his prime.
Right, yep.
He's like, he has his round, and he goes out to the range.
And then they go back to the range, yeah.
Yeah, and I realized, I'm not doing that. He's Tiger Woods, and he does that. How can I get mad? I'm terrible, and I never practice. How can I get mad when I hit a bad shot? Of course I do. So, I don't know.
Maybe that helped. My day off yesterday,
yeah.
Man. So, it was okay.
As far as the negativity, I think Jay and I'm kind of following in his footsteps here, I think we came to a point where we're at peace with this whole season right now. And it's just a matter of, you know what? Right now, the Kings, they're not playing great right now. Why? I don't know. I know they got a big game tonight. They got a big game tomorrow. They're meaningful games. We're just trying to enjoy it and not get caught up in the, why didn't they win this game and all that game? If they'd won those two games previously, look where they'd be. That's all true, but there's really no benefit in getting caught up in that.
No, not at all, because and here we are 63 games into the season or whatever. We've been doing that all season, and it's not good for our mental health, really, right?
Right.
It's like, all right, they lost. It hurts. Take 24 hours to reflect on it. But now it's another game.
Yes.
You know, and you got the Bucks. And if you win this game, all is right in the world.
Right.
You know, you're feeling good about yourself. You got the Lakers tomorrow. And so I'm with you, man. It's like at this point of the season, I'm going to just try to enjoy the successes that we do have. And sure, we may lose tonight. We may lose tomorrow. But this team is guaranteed, in my opinion, unless something catastrophically happens, we're guaranteed at least a play-in scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ideal, Whitey, but the goals that you set forth are still at hand. Why not be this year's Miami Heat? Why not get into the first round, and who knows, depending on the matchup, pull off an upset? And so I'm not going to – the roller coaster, I know it's hard not to ride, Kings fans, because I'm with you. I'm in the front car. I got my hands gripped on the little safety bar, and I'm like, wee,
yeah,
wee, that's me on the roller coaster. But tonight, I'm going to enjoy some high-level basketball between two star-laden teams.
And it's not a matter of making excuses. We know the Kings have their shortcomings. I don't want people to think that we're saying, oh, it's fine. You can't criticize them. They're great. There's nothing wrong here. Nothing to see. Obviously, there are flaws. It's more a matter of just bringing, at least for myself, and I think Jay, and again, Jay is kind of my Yoda on this, bringing expectations into line with what's going on. I was reading something last night talking about magicians. Magicians fool us because they base everything on our expectations. You expect one thing, they give you something else, and you go, whoa. Well, that's kind of what's happening with this season. Our expectations are here. Team doesn't always play well, and we're going, hey, what happened? What was that? What, they played a trick on us. No, we're playing the trick on ourselves if our expectations are too high.
Yeah, let me ask you this, though, and I hear you. I get it. Maybe we should reconfigure our expectations of this team. But when they beat Denver, when they beat OKC, when they beat Minnesota, that's what gives us the hope.
Right.
This team can be something special. And so when they win, if they beat Milwaukee tonight, if they beat the Lakers tomorrow, beat Knicks, should we still have low expectations for this team? Should we still lower our expectations for this team?
I really think it's a matter of it, the whole thing hanging in the balance right now. I would say right now, they're, for lack of a better term, I think right now they're mediocre. They're not a good team. They're not a bad team. That doesn't mean that they're going to be mediocre the rest of the year. That's why these games are so exciting. It's still up to them how good they can be this year. So if they win tonight, yes, of course you get excited. But then if they lose the next night, okay.
Put it in perspective, you're saying.
Yeah, but that's what's exciting about it.
Right.
It isn't that, oh, I thought they'd be this and they're here. No, it's more like this is where they are, and I'm excited about seeing where they can get to.
No, I hear you on that. I hear you. But, you know, it's expectations – can ruin the joy of the game.
They can in some way,
And I feel like that's what's happening with this season. We've said it time and time again. Flip last season and this season. If we had this season last year, we'd be super excited.
Yeah.
We'd be like, oh, my gosh, are they going to break the drought? The streak might be over. Like, that would be the narrative right now. Now it's like these guys are underachieving. You know, we're losing to bad teams. And so I think tonight, and I understand the Kings fans. You had 16 straight seasons of misery. 16 straight seasons of your season ending a week and a half into April. I get it. I understand that. But what I don't like, Whitey, is the first 8-0 run by an opponent, I'm getting texts, oh, here we go again. Oh, the Kings going to king and all this. And it's like, dog, it's 12-4 in the first. It's okay. Calm down. Like, and so – I will say, you know, for tonight, and I'm on the call tonight, so I'll just be immersed in the actual game. I won't be up there at the perch reacting to every play. For tonight, I'm a reserve judgment until it's done.
Yeah.
Until we are finished. Now, if they come out and beat Milwaukee by 20, we're going to be feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose, though, we got to temper our set. I mean, this is Milwaukee. This is the second best team in the Eastern Conference.
Haven't beaten them since 2016, right?
15 straight losses to these guys. We noticed the numbers. And so I think I'm going to enjoy basketball tonight. I'm
going
to be
idea.
A basketball fan tonight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The last game to me really brought it into focus. The Kings have 36 wins. Houston going into that game. They came in with, 28 wins.
Yeah.
And I watched that game, and on the one hand, you could say, what's wrong with the Kings? They're supposed to beat this team. They're a better team. They're at home. Okay, but what I saw was Houston beat them. Houston is an athletic team, and I know they haven't won a lot of games. They're quick. They're a very strong defensive team. And the Kings, to me, they got beaten. They didn't give that game away. So it's like, all right, that's just kind of the reality of it right now. That's where they are. No matter who they're playing, where they're playing them, I mean, it's going to be a tough game. It's like De'Aaron Fox said after the Spurs game. He said, you know, you want to finish stronger than that. But in the end, we had a close game against an NBA team. And I think we're probably going to get a lot more of those the rest of the way.
Yeah, but I'm not letting them off the hook like that, Whitey. I'm sorry. I can't do that. Not when you only make 6 threes. Not when you only score 104 points. Not when you score 14 in the third. You can say Houston beat them. But I feel like the Kings had opportunities in that game. You know, I feel like the Kings had chances in that game. And I'm not just going to be like, ho-hum, they beat us, unless.
Not ho-hum, but I understand your point.
Unless the Kings, to your point, are just a mediocre team right now.
I think right now they are. I think the numbers say that. That doesn't mean they will continue to be.
Where would you, and don't look at the record. I'm talking the real, where would you put the Kings in, let's say, the Western Conference? Are they the 7th best team?
I think they're right about where
their record is, where the standings indicate.
Yeah, maybe Yeah, right about. And then, you know, you got to play the Lakers. Boy, last week you beat the Lakers and it looked like, okay, it looks like we took care
right,
of them.
Right.
And now you got them coming in there. They may be closer than they were last week.
Right. But I ask you this question because in New Orleans, they're having a great season.
Yes.
They're celebrating their squad. They're a top six team. Right now, the Kings are 2.5 behind New Orleans. So that five spot looks like it's sailing out the window.
Yep.
But you're only a game behind Phoenix. How are our Phoenix fans reacting to their season? Their season,
they keep
winning
these games they're not supposed to win.
Right. And they're saying, when we get healthy, watch out for the postseason.
Yes.
Whereas we're only a game behind them.
Yeah.
We're saying, if we get to the postseason, it's going to be quick. It's going to be a quick exit. Why can't we take the thought and the belief that, you know what, we're only a game behind Phoenix, mind you. Why can't we say, just get to the postseason and anything can happen?
Well, here's why people would not be inclined to say that. Who knows what's going to happen? And you know this. The Suns, they've got a lot of moving pieces, new players, injuries, and they still feel like they haven't played their best basketball. They don't have everybody together, and now you got Booker back. So there's reason for them to feel like, you know what? We've been building for this moment all year long. We've been working towards this. The Kings appear to be going, if in any direction, the other way, where it's like they're starting to wear down a little bit. So, again, I'm not saying this is forget it. They're done. They're cooked. But it's a little harder to be optimistic the way Suns fans are.
Should Dallas be optimistic?
Their defense is terrible. They're playing well, so I know they're going to be. I think the Kings can be better than them. That's going to come down to these.
Can the Lakers be optimistic?
Yeah.
Well, how can all these teams behind us be? The Warriors, Steph Curry, you get them in. Watch out. Like, I think, and the point I'm trying to make is that Dallas still feels like they have hope.
Yes.
Lakers still feel like they have hope.
I'm not saying it's
hopeless. Warriors still feel like they how come it's doom and gloom with us? How come we aren't saying we still got hope?
Because since whatever it is, January, whatever.
What, January? I mean,
their last 18 games are 9-9.
Right.
Yeah. That's not bad. It's just not very good. So it just looks like, this team's kind of stuck. They're a little stuck right now. So maybe they win a couple games, things are going to look a lot different. I'm not saying it's over. Don't care. You know, you shouldn't care. There's no hope. But let's be honest. What we've seen lately is a team that's having a hard time getting some traction. They've had a team meeting, you know, and they just lost to a team that at home that has an inferior record. That's just where it is right now. It's exciting if they can embrace the underdog thing and surprise some teams. But if we're thinking this is a 50-win team and they've just been underachieving all year and, Mike Brown, he's dragging this team down, you're delusional if you think that.
Nah, but that's you said multiple different things there, Whitey. Like, this team should be a 48-50 win team.
I don't think they are. Well, maybe you're right, but I don't think this team is.
They're not right now, of course. But when you've shown you can beat the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is everybody's numbers. Outside of Domas and Malik Monk, everybody's numbers are down.
Mm-hmm.
His efficiency is down. Keegan's his, Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, his scoring numbers are down. And so at their best, they are. The problem is they haven't been that. And to your point, we just have to say, all right, who we thought they were, they haven't lived up to those expectations. They're less than what we thought.
Right,
which
is
frustrating.
We'll come right back. Conversation continues. Tell you why last night, not an especially great night for the Kings. Also, how the Kings need to find their A game in the spray game. When we come right back to the Golden One Center, Drapes is back with us today at Drive Guys Sacktown.
I think they're definitely a good team in that category. You know, the guys that they have on that team, they embody that. And, you know, I think tonight will be another good challenge with that for us. So, I mean, just got to kind of go out there and adapt to it. We've seen it a couple games now where, you know, refs are letting guys play. So, you got to be ready for it.
Mercy, mercy me, the physicality. Keon Ellis and how the Bucks are a very physical team. Hey, Doc Rivers has done a good job restoring a sense of defensive responsibility since he's taken over there.
Yeah, they're a much improved team. 109.8 points per game they allow since Doc took over. That's ninth in the NBA, you know. And you're talking about a top 10 defense since Doc took over. Yeah, they were a mess. And so and they've stepped up their offense as of late also. I mentioned 109.8. Well, in the games before then, they were giving up 120.1. Like, they were 24th in the NBA. So, I mean, they were struggling. Mm-hmm. So, this is a different Bucks team than what we saw back in January.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, we were just talking about where the Kings are in the West. And real quick, as you probably know, last night, not a great night for the Kings because you had, let's see, the Mavs won, the Suns won, and the Warriors all won. So, right now, it's Phoenix is sixth, and the Kings are a game back of that in seventh. They're basically tied with Dallas for seventh. They're just percentage points ahead. Then the Lakers are a game and a half behind the Kings, and the Warriors are 2.5 behind the Kings.
Yeah.
So just about everything is in play here, and that's underscoring how important the rest of this homestand is.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be massive. Think about this, Whitey. You're a game and a half ahead of the Lakers right now. You got a tough Bucks team in here. You lose today, you go a game ahead of the Lakers.
With them coming in.
With them coming in. They could be in a virtual tie. You have the tiebreaker against them, but this would be, you know, and there's a difference between the 7-8 seed and the 9-10. Like, when it comes 7-8, you got two cracks at it, basically. You're guaranteed at least two cracks. 9 or 10, that first game, you got to win.
You got to go 2-0.
You got to go, yeah, you got to go 2-0. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, I did not think we would be in this position, to be honest with you. And I think this is what fans are so disappointed in. We knew it would be some struggles. We knew the West was going to be tough. But if you win the games, not even all of them, because you're going to lose some games you're supposed to lose, but even just half of them, you know, four more wins, what would that have done for this team?
You're right.
You know? And I think that's the frustrating part for the fans. And I know the guys are trying. I know Mike Brown is racking his brain trying to figure this out. The players are trying. They can't put their finger on it. But, man, it is frustrating because, and I've said it, I know I came in thinking all positive. We were going to get it done.
That didn't last long.
But I'm a realist, Whitey. I keep it real, big dog. That's what I do. And so I have no idea what's going to happen tonight, guys.
Right.
Who knows? Like, it would not shock me in the least to see the Kings come out and win this game. And I wouldn't be shocked if we lost it either.
Yeah, I know. What you just said is absolutely true. But that's one of the points I was making as far as, boy, if they'd done this, done that. While true, I'm just not focusing on that. I'm focusing more on where they are now and how they get better. And one of the things that's pretty clear from here is they have to start making their threes. We told you yesterday, Jay and I talked to Jay Triano.
Yep.
And I asked him that question. You and me were kicking that around on Friday. It's like, hey, they're not shooting many threes lately. And he said, you're right. And he said, we need to. He said, we still want to shoot 40 threes a game.
See?
Yeah.
So it's not a coaching philosophy that said, guys, don't chuck them up.
Right. So I said, well, how come, you know, Houston did a good job and kept you to whatever, 32, before that was 33. He said both the last two teams they've played, Houston and the Spurs, have done a really good job at defending the three-point line. But he and Mike Brown also, and you know this, you heard Coach, talked about how they have to do a better job in the spray game, which is get to the paint and then get it out.
Right.
You know, Houston, when you get in the paint, the same thing happened against, was it the Bulls? With their great interior defense.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike Brown says, look, we get to the paint, and then that's when you got to get it out to the shooters. And we get stuck in there, and we try to score, or we go too deep, and then we get bogged down. So that's one of the things that he says they've been emphasizing. They're emphasizing it for tonight. He says, we worked on it before the last game. Get to the paint, spray it out, because this team, the key to their success going forward is they got to take and make more threes.
Oh, Whitey, Kevin, Whitey, Kevin.
This is the coach talking.
No, but here's the thing. Stop that. Mike, stop. Mike's been saying that since week one.
Uh-huh.
Spray threes. Like, that's it. He's been preaching spray threes to the high heavens. I'm tired of hearing spray threes. I get it. What frustrates me is we all know that already.
Mm-hmm.
That's been well documented. The question is, how come it's not happening? And does Mike need to start holding guys accountable if they don't follow that? Because this has been preached since day one. Trust me, I'm in the practices. I'm in the film sessions. I know. Spray that. That's.
Then who are the biggest offenders in your view?
I got to look at the film to use Coach B.
I knew so.
You like that, right? You like that?
Yeah.
No, but basically, I think it's an everybody thing, to be honest with you. If you handle the ball, I think De'Aaron, I think Malik, I think Keegan, it's a team-wide problem, you know? And I honestly think Domas could do a better job.
Absolutely.
And when he drives, by the way, is to like, kick it out.
No.
No, exactly.
That was awful.
And so I just it's unacceptable that Mike continues to preach the same thing. And the guys, sometimes they follow it, sometimes they don't. It's like having a kid. How many times I got to tell you to pick up your shoes off the floor, pick up your socks? Someday they do it. Someday they don't.
Is that your son or your daughter?
And, both. Dude, shoes are all over the place. It's a mess, dude. It's a minefield out there. But as a parent, what do you do in that situation? Do you take away playing time if you're Mike Brown? Or do you just keep harping on it, guys, and that you hope one day it'll click? I mean, this is the NBA. If you know, in my household, maybe I'll take away a phone for a week or something like that, or somebody, you know, no devices for the day. But in the NBA, you know, are you just going to sit guys down?
I don't know.
When it's a team-wide problem,
yeah,
is what I'm saying. You just got you keep hitting it and hitting it. And so we know the problem with the spray threes. Like, Mike's been preaching that since day one.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting about that, and it relates to parenting and coaching, yeah, is it depends on the person. For example, this is just all theoretical. Let's say somebody had a daughter and she's leaving her Legos laying around, right?
Yes.
And you said, better pick up your Legos. She doesn't do it. Better pick last chance, doesn't pick them up. And so then the parents take the Legos and put them away and say, well, now they're gone because you didn't pick them up. And that daughter's like, oh, I learned my lesson. But then another daughter, a few years later, is like, I don't care.
Right. I was done with Legos anyway.
Yeah,
I'm playing with something else.
I'll find something else.
Right.
So it's tricky. It depends on the people. But as far as the Kings go, the reason they're so volatile, one of them, is they are basically a jump shooting team.
Yeah.
And you have to start making threes. You know, there was, what did you say, six for 32.
Yeah.
I know in your pregame, Katie was saying, oh, I need them to make 15 threes. When you're only shooting 32, that's tough.
Yeah, that's
tough.
But
she's right. They have to start making more threes. They got to be competitive with the other team every game when it comes to the threes.
You know, it's to me, and the NBA is a process, Whitey. It's you're going to have your setbacks. It's not linear, meaning you're not going to all of a sudden one day, oh, I figured it out.
Right.
And then it be that way the rest through eternity. So you're going to have some good days and you're going to have some bad days. And Mike Brown continues to hit it. And if I'm a player, I wonder, because when you talk about the spray threes, one thing he talked about post game the other day was guys are getting too deep, you know, you're driving into the defense and then, you know, trying to figure it out then. Like, if I'm a player and there was one possession, and I told Katie this during the timeout. Man, I wish I had the video I could show everybody on the YouTube and online. The Spurs had, like, five guys touch the paint and spray it out. Like, it was the best possession I've seen out of any NBA team all year long. Where they were just on the rope, it was like a guy would drive, kick, catch, drive, dribble, kick, drive, motion. Yes, it was beautiful to watch. And I don't know if they made the shot, but I think that's what the Kings ideally want to do. You want to touch the paint, but then kick it out.
Right.
And Mike Brown says, all right, if you don't have the shot, snap drive. The snap drive is catch and then drive again. And so watch tonight on a single, any given possession, how many times guys drive into the paint and kick out. Because I think that's key to getting more threes.
Yes, yeah.
And I also wonder, too, Whitey, when guys are struggling, are they a little hesitant to shoot threes?
Yes, we've seen that, too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they aren't letting it fly.
Yeah, good point you make, though, about dribble drive motion. The ball goes to the wing, he drives, and then he's either getting the cup or he's kicking it out. Right? So you get this motion going, and that guy drives, kicking it out. And the Kings so often, like, a guy drives, gets stuck. Right?
Right,
it's
right.
Stuck in there.
Pick it up, and now I'm looking for something.
And then the whole offense is just.
What was that sounding?
What is that? What happened to the hyperdrive? You know, that's that's what happened. You see it, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
How about this? The Kings actually getting some love from the national media.
Ooh.
We got that for you when we return to the to the Golden One Center Drive guys on Sacktown Sports. Drape's back with us today after a day off yesterday, coming to you from the Golden One. I hate to say this, Drapes, because you're going to be sad that you missed the show yesterday. We had a meal on. We had a meal on live, and you didn't get to talk.
No, that's all right. Yesterday was meant to be a relaxing day. Anytime I think of that guy or see that guy, my blood pressure boils. It's like I'm walking out, you know, around the arena here. Man, Drapes, good thing you ain't have a meal on. Or, you know, like people will ask me about this guy, and I'm like, don't you? I'm not friends with this guy. Like, I see him in the parking lot at the radio station. We just give each other one of these, like, it's like a little, and then keep it moving. No convo, nothing, you know? What'd he say?
Well, he updated us on some of the 49ers stuff that was going on. You know, they had a busy day yesterday, and they're busy again today. They've signed, the 49ers have, Jordan Elliott, tackle from the Browns, $10 million over 2 years. He's a big son of a gun, 302-pounder, 6'4", 302. Really good interior lineman, which is just what the Niners need.
Yeah.
Also, there's word that Debo plans to switch his jersey number to number one next year.
Do we know why?
I don't know why. And perhaps that's out there, and perhaps I missed it, but no, I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So did Emil say anything about the Eagles move yesterday?
Nobody
asked him about
maybe
that.
Maybe Jay knows more and remembers better than I do. I don't think he was that impressed.
No, he wasn't. We made sure.
Saquon's a top five back in the league. What are we talking about here?
We made sure, Drapes, to say, you know, he was your McCaffrey, and he was like, okay, good signing. I like, and he made sure to say he likes Saquon Barkley, but he doesn't think it doesn't move the needle for you guys.
That is crazy, Jay. We all know. We all know the deal, though. Like, this is an added dimension to this Eagles all. This is he finally will be unchained from the New York Giants, and we can see this guy in full display.
Yeah.
This is a NFC altering move, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Sure, the secondary still sucks. They got to improve the secondary. Yes. And that will happen. But Saquon's a three down back, fellas. Just like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon can catch it out of the backfield. You know, Swift wasn't necessarily a three-down back, and so I love this move.
Yeah. Somebody on the chat was saying they're never going to forget the half season that Barkley's going to have for him before he
– Hey, long as he's there for the back half. That's all I need. Long as he's there for the back half.
Yeah. It's been a busy, busy, busy couple of days. What do you think of the Ravens getting Derrick Henry? They're just going to run people over next year.
How old is Derrick Henry, though? I know he's still the man.
Well, there's physical age, and then there's actual age.
You know, yeah.
Physically, yeah, I mean, it takes a toll, all the mileage.
He's 30.
They're running
but
back
I take
for
him.
It's like the best in the league, right?
Mm-hmm.
They still got Flowers.
Yeah.
And you got Lamar who can
right.
run. Like,
right.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. He's Derrick Henry's 30.
Yeah,
chronologically, physically, right. You know, who knows,
right.
37, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We were talking about the Kings getting some national love somehow, some way. This was on. This was actually yesterday on ESPN, and it was Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp, and they were talking about the Lakers and the Kings. And Stephen A. here, we'll hear it. Here's Stephen A. sticking up for the Kings against Shannon Sharp.
By the way, you bring up Denver. I got to. So Sacramento ain't nothing to be worried about. Sacramento ain't nothing to be worried about. I'm talking about Sacramento against y'all.
Not in the seven-game series.
Against y'all. What? Sacramento will take y'all. You do understand that, right? They will take y'all. I think New Orleans might take y'all personally. I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to speak
Stop
it into existence. I don't want that to happen because obviously
Stop
we all
it.
Know where I want to be come May and June. I want to be in Southern California and apologize if that's anybody.
How about that? The Lakers would take care of the Lakers in a series.
I think so. I mean, the matchup has proven to be in the Kings' favor. You know, like the Kings have owned the Lakers recently, 3-0 so far this season, got them tomorrow. I will say, though, one game, I would not want to face the Lakers. Not one game with LeBron. LeBron, go back to 2016, LeBron James, you know what I mean? Like, come out with like 40, 15, and 12 on us. I don't need to see that. But I think the Kings over a seven-game series are a better team than the Lakers.
It's probably not going to – well, it can end up every one of these ways. But let's say you could pick who the Kings would have in a 7-8 matchup. If they win, they're in. You could pick them to play the Warriors, the Lakers, or the Mavs. Who would you pick?
Dang.
Who do you think they'd have a better shot against?
Oh.
It's 7-8, so even if you lose, you still get another shot.
Wow. I probably would say the Warriors.
Really?
I think the Warriors are still a flawed team, and maybe that's me hating on them and me being biased, which is a possibility. But, you know, Dallas, maybe I'll say Dallas. You know
why? I'd say Dallas. Yeah,
because I don't know if Dallas has the fortitude, if you will, to, you know, like Luka's sort of a front runner, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Nobody else scares me on that team.
They're not a great defensive
team.
Not any of those teams are.
They don't play with physicality like, you know, like the Rockets or the Pelicans or something like that. And so, I'll say Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. What did you think, speaking of the Warriors, Trayce Jackson-Davis, the dunk on Wemby last night?
It was a great dunk.
It was offensive foul.
I saw the hand. And,
I mean, he pushed his hand out of the way. He did do that.
That's marginal contact, Whitey.
Wimby's like, get ready to block it. They're like, wow, he just.
Yeah, he just pushed him out of the way.
It's great if you can get away with
it. Right, and he got away with it. But I'm not a big, you know, Wemby got wrecked. I don't know if you heard Bob Fitzgerald's call on it.
I had it on, where I was watching it was the Spurs call, so I didn't.
Oh, it's the Spurs call. Yeah, and so he's like, he dunked on all of France and, you know, and all this. I'm like, man, it was a dunk. And I always say, every NBA player, if you're competing, will get dunked on in their career. Because Wimby's trying to make a play. You don't worry about, you know, there's no business decision. Mm-hmm. It was a nice dunk, but ultimately it's 2 points.
Yeah, I like watching him play. I wouldn't say I'm a Wemby fan necessarily, at least not yet. But I did appreciate what he said after the game, which was just the way you stated it. He said, I dunk on people and I'm going to get dunked on. It's not that big of a deal.
It really isn't. You know, as a broadcaster in the middle of the game, it's like, oh, you know.
They don't believe
it.
Malik, they don't believe it. Wasn't that you?
Did I do that?
Wasn't that you, I think, in the one they have for a promo?
It might be me, yeah.
Dunks it. They don't believe it.
Did I say that?
I think so.
All right, that might be me. I don't know. But, you know, I saw the dunk, not live. I saw it on my phone, and it's like you would have thought, like, getting dunked on versus getting crossed up are two different things, in my opinion. Like, when somebody makes you fall down, that's like they did something.
Yeah, they stole a little piece.
They stole a little piece of you. When you get dunked on, the odds of you actually blocking somebody's dunk aren't that high. And I know it's Wemby and everything. And so, Trayce Jackson-Davis, 57th overall pick.
I know.
Man, why can't we get guys like that?
I don't know. The thing that was impressive about it was, you know, sometimes a guy will help. Like, you got to slide over, you go up, and you get dunked on. It's like, well, what am I supposed to run away? That wasn't what happened here.
This was one-on-one.
Yes, and he gave him a spin move and went right by him and threw it down.
Yeah, and, you know, we get on the Warriors. Well, not we. I'll say me.
All of France? You really said he dunked on all of France?
Yeah. It was, you know, I'm not a, you know, Fitzy guy, you know, him and Kalina. Kalina's my guy from back in Kentucky, but, you know, it's like they're a little too homerish for me. But, you know.
Maybe that's why he wouldn't come on the last time I asked him to come on.
Did you really ask him?
Yeah, a while ago.
And he said
like,
no?
He said, oh, it's a game night. I was like, yeah, but it was a nationally televised game that they weren't.
Well, he takes his craft seriously. You know, he's prepping for the prep.
We found somebody that's not Whitey's guy. I'm going to have to get Kalina on this show as well.
Yeah, get Kalina. Write Kalina down. That Kalina is my guy from Kentucky. Used to cover him when I worked in Louisville.
Okay.
He played for the Kentucky Wildcats.
All right.
We go way back. But, no, it's the Warriors, I was going to say, I got on them for the Wiseman, for the Moody. Finally, Kuminga's coming around. But Podziemski and Trayce Jackson-Davis, they've done a hell of a job with those two guys.
I know. It's like their two-timeline plan is finally working now that they've abandoned it.
Right. You're right about that. Now that it's, you know, the Clay and those guys about to ride off into the sunset. But they got two nice pieces. I will say this, though. When it comes time for Steph to leave, Clay, Draymond, Podziemski and Trayce Jackson, they're solid players, good players, but they're going to fall off a cliff, I still think.
Right.
Yeah. It's
right.
Not like they hand the torch over, all right, guys, now you continue, you know, this decades of dominance and making the playoffs and everything like that. It's going to be rough.
That was a mistake they made because they decided when they were going to try to institute that two-timeline plan, we're not just going to get good guys. We're going to get guys that could be transformational players like Wiseman, and they were way off. It was a big swing and a miss. Kuminga looks like maybe he's going to be close to that, but that's why, rather than just pick guys that they knew, like Tyrese Halliburton's going to be a good player. No. We got to get the next great player, James Wiseman. That was a mistake they made.
No, exactly. It's they were swinging for, like, they were gambling almost. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
right.
You know, high risk, high reward kind of situation.
Yep. When we come back, Drapes has he wants to share some views of operations here in the arena.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with a few people. I'm upset.
It's so
right
unlike
now.
You,
and, dude. I wanted to be positive, but they ruined the mood when I walked in.
All right,
like the staffers here ruined the mood. I'll tell you about it.
Yeah, we'll find out what's up next here from the Golden One with the Drive Guy, Sacktown Sport. Rarely is news of a severely sprained ankle good news, but that's the case today.
Yeah.
Rocket center Alperen Şengün, who went down in a heap here Sunday afternoon with 39 seconds to go in the Kings-Rockets game, looked like it could have been a catastrophic knee injury. And we found out today that he has avoided a catastrophic injury, severely sprained ankle and a bruised knee. So that's great news for him, the Rockets, and any basketball fan.
Yeah, a lot of speculation going on when we first saw the injury. Like, it looked really, really bad. One of those, you know, ACLs or something you could be out for a year.
Couple CLs.
Yeah,
ACL,
yeah, a couple of MCL, PCL, yeah, all that. Yeah. All PCL, all of the CLs out there. CL Smooth, CL, you know.
Yep.
Jay knows.
Yep. All of them. It looked
all
like
of
it.
Them, right?
Yeah.
No, but that's huge news. I mean, he's one of the young, bright stars of the game, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, if he comes back healthy next season, he will be an all-star. Like, he was knocking on that door, I thought, this year. And good to see, good news to hear that it's nothing more serious.
That team has a chance to be a lot better next year.
I think so. They got some a nice mix of veterans and young talent, too. And they got a coach, you know, in his first year now, who sort of has this aura about him, this cachet about him. You know, when he walks in, he demands respect. And you're right, man. They could be – I'm not saying they'll be as good as OKC, but that next team that, you know, makes a leap into playoff contention.
Meanwhile, Steph is out tonight versus the Mavs. Or actually, I think that might be tomorrow. I'll have to double-check on that when they actually play that game. Also,
yeah, that's tomorrow. Yeah.
Thank you. Karl Anthony Towns, meniscus surgery. He'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. My understanding is he had less done now that allows him to maybe be back sooner, but it limits the chances of a full recovery. So, in other words, like, well, let's clean it up now and I can get back sooner. So, obviously, they're dealing with that. And then Otto Porter let go by the Jazz. I don't know about you. I was thinking, boy.
Where are you? You were one of those?
Yeah, he's defended. He played for Mike Brown when he was at Golden State. And, like, Otto Porter says, good night, everybody.
Yeah, he knew. I mean,
yeah.
You weren't the only one out there. Oh, maybe we could get him here in sack.
Yes,
you know, a 3-and-D guy. But the injuries really, 12 years, I think he played? Injuries in 12 years nowadays, like, is nothing, you know, like, and injuries really zapped his career.
Yeah. So what happened to you? You were so optimistic. You literally declared, I'm an optimist today when we started the show, and it doesn't look like that's where you are right now.
You know, I come in here. I had a nice breakfast this morning. Took my breakfast. I'm nice. You know, I feel good.
Yeah.
But, you know, Selena doesn't come here till about 3:30 with our lunch.
Right.
And so I need, like, a little snack to go from 9:30 when I had my breakfast to 3:30. You know, that's 6 hours.
Right.
So I need something to eat, just a little snack. And you know how it is, Whitey. You've been to games. You go in the media room, there's popcorn.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's tons of popcorn everywhere. For the second game in a row, I walk in, and my guy, he has this table. There's like 200 boxes of popcorn. He has another side table with a couple of boxes. Like, there's a billion boxes of
popcorn.
They're
not out yet, though, right? They're not.
No, they're not out where they normally are, but they're out.
They're there.
They're there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, your boy could use a snack. The guy wasn't there at this table, though. So I'm like, I'll just take this box of popcorn. He won't miss it.
Uh-oh.
He's like, Drapes, I can't have you. You can't take that box. And it's the little black boxes. You've seen it. They're in all the lounges.
Yeah.
They're all around the place. And I'm like, what? I can't take a one box of popcorn, and this is the second straight game. The last time I came in, there was a big pallet of popcorn. Mm-hmm. Like, it was mad. It had to be like 500 boxes.
There's definitely more popcorn than anyone could possibly
exactly.
eat.
Yeah. And so
and it's
I'm
good
like,
popcorn, too.
And I'm like, I could just take this. Let me get this box of popcorn. The girl's like, nope, you can't have it. And I'm like, I can't have one box of popcorn. And usually when people do that, I get upset. I'm like, I turn into a Karen. I'm like, who's your manager? You know? And but I already know who the manager is. I know who the upper. My girl Selena. My girl Deidre.
Yeah.
They take care of all the food up in the spot here.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, let me call Selena up. And the girl's like, oh, no, no. Here you go. And she gave me the popcorn then. But coming in today, my guy, who's down there, this is at the loading dock. I came with the kids the other day. We walk it through. Hey, kids, you want some popcorn and cookies? He gave my kids two boxes of popcorn, three cookies. I come in by myself, nothing. I can't. He comes out from behind. Drapes, you can't have that. I'm like, bro.
You had your popcorn. We gave it. Your kids had it.
Exactly.
Is that what he said? Yeah.
Yeah. No, he said, you know, that's for the kids, not you.
Yeah.
And I'm like. And then my guy, Damaris, who's a camera operator, he's like, Drapes, I understand you're on the radio now. I understand you got the Mercedes, you got the sponsorship, but you ain't running things around here. So it kind of put me in my place. I'm like, dang, I can't even get a box of popcorn in the spot. These are my people.
Huh.
This is my like, we are a brotherhood. I'm an employee, and I can't even get a box of freaking popcorn. So I got to wait till 3:30 when Selena comes in. That's why I'm in a bad mood, because I'm hungry. I need my popcorn.
You got to embrace the humility. The cosmos has just taught you a little lesson there.
Dude, I'm one of the most humble people you know, as I say it.
What?
But no, so I'm in a little bit of bad mood. I don't have any water. I don't have any popcorn, and it's not set up
you
in
want
the media
water?
Room.
I got some water.
Have you opened it yet?
No.
Nah, Selena will be here in 36 minutes. So,
right.
But, yeah, so that's why I'm a little upset right now.
Okay.
It's like, it'd be
you're
different.
On edge because of this game tonight. The
nah,
way
man, it'd be different if I was asking for a jersey or something, Whitey, or something. I'm asking for a box of freaking popcorn. They got 20,000 boxes of popcorn.
You don't
they got more popcorn
here.
Than people up in this building, and I can't get popcorn?
You got your Mercedes. You got your radio show. That means you run things. That's awesome. That's employee of the year
yeah,
right
I know.
There.
So hopefully I wasn't too mean to anybody today. But I'm you know, when you it's called being hangry. I'm hangry right now.
Yeah,
I didn't pack any snacks. And so that's why I'm upset.
All right. Gotcha. We appreciate your finding a way
you
to
feel my pain, though?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah. I'm having a hard time carrying on. Tell you how Domas can make franchise history tonight when we come back to the house that Drapes built, the Gold One Center. Drive guys on Sacktown Sports.
You know what else I'm going to appreciate? When I get to Sacramento and I get to hit the free food,